Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 2
of the Oversharers podcast.
I always forget what I'm saying. It's actually quite sad. Right, so just quickly wanted to say thank you so much for all the wonderful messages, all the screenshots, the fact that you shared our new podcast. There's so many of you actually gave really, really nice feedback on the Apple podcast. You guys are so sweet. And it made me realize there was loads of you that kind of wanted to listen to us, but because you don't really watch YouTube videos, you just didn't get that vibe. You didn't get that time. So
now they're listening in their cars, on a walk.
Some people are listening in
at work, in school.
You know, people outside of England. I'm like,
wow. I know. I was really shocked by that one. Do you know what I really liked? It's just how easy it was for people to access the audio. Like, I just never even considered that people were so busy that they couldn't sit down for 20 minutes to watch a YouTube video.
I know.
It's just so refreshing. I'm really sorry, guys, for just giving you YouTube content for the last year.
Literally. But you know what? We're here to do bigger and better things, so what can we do? How have you been, Colton?
It's just been a crazy week, honestly. It's only Monday from 9 till 5. Apart from my 1 hour lunch, I was back to back.
Really? Oh God.
Yeah, it was just a bit of a wild day, but I mean, you know what, it wasn't bad. Like, I didn't mind it or anything like that.
Yeah,
and then I feel like colleagues are listening.
I feel like my busy days at work are like Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. The only day that I like have breathing space is a Wednesday, I would say.
Yeah,
that's generally how it goes. What have I been doing? I've read 2 books. I watched Capture, that Colton gassed me about.
Oh my God. That season 2.
Nah, listen,
Can we just talk about the jump? Can we talk about how season 1 was the soft launch?
Do you think? I thought season 1 was like, whoa.
What?
Season 1 took me off. I was like, this is different.
When I saw season 2, that's when I was like, right, this is what they were getting at. This is correction. This is correction.
If you haven't seen it, obviously I won't give any spoilers.
Yeah.
But it's such a good show. That nothing beats a winter
gritty British
drama.
Crime drama.
Nothing.
Oh, I was like trying to look for more afterwards.
You know what's really good? And I watched I would say 2-3 years ago, Broadchurch.
So good.
Yeah, it's got David Tennant in it, but it's actually got really good plot. Line of Duty, everyone's watched.
I heard there's a really good one that's been out for a while called Informer.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I think it's like on the theme of just like intelligence.
Police drama. Anyway, go watch Capture. I also watched episode 8 of House and Dragon. I just want to say,
whoa. Don't even tell me.
Whoa.
I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to watch it after work, but I knew you were coming and I had to set up. I didn't have time. I didn't have time to sit down, watch it, get ready and all of that.
No, so you've got to be in your own space to watch House of Dragon.
As soon as you leave today, I'm going to watch.
I just want to say though, Damon.
Do you know what's really interesting about Matt Smith? Like, he's just really attractive in the roles that he plays. Like,
yeah, but not
I enjoyed him as Prince Philip in The Crown, as Damon in House of Dragons. But in real life, he's just the polar opposite of those characters.
But you know what that tells me? That you can force attraction when someone like creates that character for you.
Yeah.
Like, he just screams.
Great actor,
but also just
sex appeal.
Do you know what I mean? BDE. Sorry, guys.
But it's like, true. But Matt Smith isn't someone that you would consider to be conventionally attractive. Yeah. So when you look at him, you're like, what the hell? Like, if someone was to go and search him now, they'd be like, What the hell? Couture and whore, though. Like, what are you talking about?
The lace front has done it for me. I just want to say that it must be black people doing those laces.
Do you think?
It's beautiful.
The blonde hair.
It's layered.
Do you know what I like? Like, there was a period where he had, like, long hair, and then there's a bit where he cut it. Do you remember?
Now he's kind of back to the semi-bob.
Like, he had a bob.
Yeah.
Oh, has he got a bob now?
No, he's got, like, a semi-long bob.
Yeah, so it's grown a bit.
It's grown a bit.
But, yeah, anyway. I'm really enjoying Matt Smith.
No. Honestly, House of Dragons is actually really good. Apparently, they're going to do another season about Aegon the Conqueror. So they're skipping. They're going back in time.
Oh, so we're not going to... It's not going to be...
We're going to see the Dance of the Dragons. That's the most epic fight ever. You're going to see that in the next season.
Next season, yeah.
Anyway, guys.
There's lots to come. In the House of Dragons.
It's actually so interesting. I really like it. Anyway.
Should we get on?
We should. Guys, the scenario is quite long, but it's very interesting. And the story takes turns. It goes up and down.
Up and down.
You don't know what's going on.
Twists and turns.
So yeah, get yourself a cuppa. Do you know what I mean? If you're stuck in traffic, be happy that you're in traffic right now because the story is going to be a good one.
And don't be one of those people that when you're driving, you just like lose all focus of what's going on. You know when you're driving?
Yeah. Oh, that's
me. And it can get quite dangerous.
I get these times and I don't know if anyone else does.
I would say park up.
Do you?
To listen to this, yeah.
Oh my God, get yourself a little McD's, you know, fish or fillet.
Park up, have your food.
And chill out and listen to this. Yeah. That's actually true. You know what I do sometimes?
You zone out.
And then I come back to reality. I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually driving. What's going on?
Like before you know it, you've run two red lights and you're like, what the hell's happened?
Yeah.
Sit down, park up and let's go for a long, juicy. Let's go for this long and juicy. Just sounds wrong.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, what a wild ride. Salam. Using a throwaway account as I am in a very difficult situation right now and I'm really confused on how to deal with it. I can't discuss this with anyone, family or friends, as I don't know how they'll respond to it and it's a big accusation to make. Basically, just to give you some background, I was born and raised in Pakistan and moved to the UK in the start of 2020. I got a job offer from a company here and they took care of my visa and everything. Around 6 months before moving to the UK, I got engaged to a girl. It was a typical arranged marriage and families met through a matchmaker. Everything looked fine. I also spoke to the girl before marriage and found her quite practicing as well, and we shared common beliefs on most of the things. We had a formal nikah 3 months before leaving for the UK so that her visa can be taken care of in time. Thankfully, everything went according to the plan, and a month before our departure, we had the formal ruksati. She moved in our house after we had a formal wedding. So I'm guessing Ruxati is
that nikah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. We had both moved here together. Moving to a new country is a very big challenge. And coming from Pakistan, UK felt like a completely different world. And we both did not have any close friends or family here to help us get settled. So we were pretty much on our own. We stayed in a hotel for about 2 weeks. Searching for an apartment to move into. Luckily, we found a place in East London to move into. It was also close to my workplace, so we moved into it. Initially, I had to face a lot of challenges as I didn't know how things work here, i.e. how do you transfer electricity account to your name and which company is best to use, setting up council tax, etc. Our real estate agent wasn't helpful either, as they basically disappeared from the scene once we moved in. Anyways, right across my apartment, there is another apartment where one of our neighbours live. Let's call him Mark. Mark is also a Muslim, but not too practicing. He was born and raised here, although his parents are from East Africa. He is big, bulky. He's okay, a big, he's a big bulky guy.
Okay.
We met a couple of times in the hallway and exchanged greetings. Once I was having some issues with my council tax and saw Mark in the hallway, so decided to ask him if he knew how to sort the issue out. He was really helpful and patiently explained everything to me. I also asked him a couple of other things a few days later and he was helpful like the first time. Since he was really helpful, me and my wife decided to invite him over for dinner as a thank you gesture, and that's when my wife met him for the first time. That day, I came to know that he is single as he broke up with his girlfriend 3 months back, and also that although he was a Muslim, he doesn't really practice Islam as such. Fast forward one day, I came home a bit earlier as I wasn't feeling well and saw my wife chatting with Mark in the hallway and they were both laughing. My wife wears a hijab and an abaya. Oh, she wears her abaya when she goes out and... Here she was just wearing plain clothes and her head was completely uncovered. Shock, horror. When they saw me, Mark said hi to me and I asked what they were chatting about. And Mark says, oh, I was just telling her how lucky you are to be married to her. And my wife started laughing. Anyways, me and my wife came inside. I didn't say anything to her as I was already feeling unwell, but later before going to bed, I did tell her that she always wears hijab and abaya in front of non-mahram men, but today she was uncovered in front of Mark. She immediately became defensive and said she was just vacuuming the house and opened the front door to clean the doormat and coincidentally saw Mark on his doorway and he started chatting to her. I told her still she should be careful of her hijab and she started arguing with me and she was inside the house so I did not expect her to start wearing the hijab inside the house. Does that make sense?
So she's arguing saying that she doesn't want him to make her so she's feel saying like she was in the house. Hijab in the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I decide not to drag this on any longer and ended the argument there. Over the next couple of months, a few other things happened, like my wife comparing me to Mark.
Okay, sis.
Saying, look at him, he is so tall and well built. Mark asked me how my mother was doing. She had a surgery and I hadn't told Mark about it. So I suspect my wife have told him, which means they have been speaking behind my back. And once we asked Mark about an electric appliance he had, and he sent a picture of it to my wife, meaning he had her phone number. When I confronted my wife about it, she started arguing with me that I'm being paranoid and that I don't trust her, etc., etc. And she also created a big fuss that I'm making accusations against her character. I only told her that I had observed the obvious things and only wanted her to follow the limits Islam has imposed on interacting with non-mahrams. We had a big fight about it and she ended mentioning him anymore, so I thought that was over.
This is getting intense, okay.
We had planned to visit Pakistan at the end of 2021, however, couldn't go due to COVID, and around the same time my wife became pregnant and I was over the moon. Everything seemed to be going well at that time. When I met Mark, I told him that we are expecting a baby, and although he did congratulate me, I could sense there was some easiness on his face, and I felt we knew about it beforehand, but since my wife was pregnant, I decided against confronting her. One day, my wife asked me to bring some things from the market while I was at work, and I ended up coming late that day because of work pressure, so that shop was closed by then. When I reached home, I found those things had already been bought. I thought my wife had gone herself and bought these from the market. I had strongly asked her not to go out alone because of her pregnancy and I became a bit cross with her. So she said, oh, I didn't go out. I asked Mark and he bought over these things. I immediately became angry at her and told her she shouldn't have asked him. So she said, what was she supposed to do when she can't go out and I wasn't home? I told her she could have ordered online and she didn't say anything. I asked her if she paid Mark and she said he won't accept the money. The items he bought were around £30, so that was a bit surprising. Moving to September 2022, my wife gave birth to our son. Now, I don't know how to word the next few sentences, but the child is shades darker than me and my wife. We are both light brownish, but the child is a lot darker than the both of us. I didn't say anything in front of my wife, but I can't get the thought out of my mind that it might be Mark's child. I know it's a very big accusation to make, but I can't help think about it considering all the things happening between my wife and Mark over the last 2 years that I have stated above. My wife's parents are already here and staying with us for now. My parents will be coming over in a few weeks' time. My wife and the baby have been discharged from hospital and are now back home. Mark showed up at the hospital with gifts for the baby and showed up again on the first day we came back home to see the baby. I made some excuse that day, but my wife became angry at me that he just wanted to see the baby and I'm being too possessive. I want to confront my wife about it, but if I do, it will lead to a very big fight as I would be accusing her of cheating. Since her family is already here and mine is coming in a couple of weeks, if I say anything right now, both families would get involved as well and basically there would be no going back. Both of us belong to quite practicing families, so it's quite unlikely that our marriage would continue any further if our families became involved in this. I know there are methods that can confirm the parenthood, but obviously that means telling my wife that I have doubts over the child's parenthood, hence wanting to confirm, which definitely would lead to a very big fight. My wife is quite practicing in that sense, and she prays all her prayers, observes hijab, reads Quran regularly. So I was really shocked that she could do something like this. I'm really confused on how to deal with this situation. Any guidance would be appreciated. This is actually really sad. If this is true, like, this is me jumping to conclusions and thinking that the wife did it. And if that's the case, this is such a sad, sad scenario, because every time he tried to confront her, she just gaslit him and made him think that he was going crazy.
But does it also, okay, and I'm not even trying to be devil's advocate, because the way this is written, it triggers you in a certain way.
It's very, like, it's very one-sided. Yeah.
And I feel like when I was thinking about that, sometimes, like recently, and don't judge me, guys, I was taken out of the trash.
Mm.
It was like 2 a.m.
Mm.
I was wearing a bati, no hijab. I literally just ran out quickly. I was like, let me just drop it. I actually was wearing hijab, but it dropped to my neck.
Mm-mm.
One of my male neighbours was coming into the building and I was literally just coming out. I froze.
Mm.
The anxiety of, like, I quickly tried to put my hijab on, but I was just anxious and was like social anxiety, like, what the hell do you
sometimes
say?
Sometimes you just freeze.
You freeze. And in that moment, I was like, do you know what I mean? And I just did what I had to do. I came back in the house.
No, but stop, pause. Now, in that interaction with your neighbour, had your husband come round the corner and saw that,
It would look weird.
Yes.
But I think he knows me enough to know
that nothing would ever
happen. But it's about, like, sometimes women are put into weird situations. Now, I'm not excusing her to be entertaining the guy at the door having a chat with him, but what if she was at... Actually, it doesn't make sense because she said she's hoovering. And I don't know why you're hoovering outside. But
what? No, she was cleaning the doormat outside. Like, oh, cleaning, okay. Yeah.
So to me, things like that can happen. And it's not something... I can see why he would look at it different ways. Because there's all these different things that are coming to him.
Now that you've said that, it's like every single situation, every single interaction, yeah, between her and Mark definitely has more than one explanation.
I feel like innately he doesn't trust her, and I feel like he needs to explore why. I understand the Mark situation is adding to it, and I think she also has gaslit him, I won't lie.
Because
if your partner was feeling insecure about something and they've asked you multiple times why these interactions are like this.
Yeah, and at no point did she say, like, I understand how you're feeling, I can see why this would be construed this way and etc. Like,
yeah.
To sort of, not appease him, but just
to make him,
to validate him a little bit, yeah.
So in that aspect, I do think she's kind of gaslighting him. Someone's religious perspective on themselves and what they think might not be the same as what their family practice and what your husband thinks of you. So he keeps saying, I thought she was a practicing woman and she's from a practicing family.
Mm.
But how, like, she might not be that... I mean, I'm not judging her, but I'm saying she might not be as serious about things like free mixing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in her eyes, Mark could be someone that she, like, she's new to the country.
Mm.
He could be an acquaintance or a friend, like, it's her neighbour.
Yeah, and he could be helping her.
Yeah. So I definitely think that something could happen, but I don't think that this relationship with Mark is as serious as he thinks it is. But I also think she's not helping the situation by not validating the fact that there's nothing going on.
But on the flip side now,
we have
not just one interaction with the neighbour, not just a cheeky, I've come by to see how you are. He has her phone number.
Yeah, that's it.
He is picking things up from the shops for her. The big one is that the baby doesn't seem to look like the husband.
No, but babies get lighter and they get darker as they grow up. No, well, I don't think that could be a reason.
But I'm just saying, this is something that he's observed. Yeah. And I don't think we can ignore
those doubts.
This is how this is making him feel, essentially.
I agree with that.
So he's observed not one, not two, not three interactions, quite a few interactions between Mark and his wife. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot and you saw your husband engaged in these interactions, exchanging phone numbers now with said person, having said person pick up food for him from the shops, how would that make you feel? You are the one with the husband.
I would be livid. Livid, I'll tell you. Okay.
Exactly.
Now that you've made it to that perspective, I get that. And I'm not agreeing with what she's doing. I just feel like I understand how he feels and how these small incidents can create this big doubt in his mind. But to assume the child is not his, that's a big accusation.
But the reason he's assuming that the child is not his is because of the fact of how Mark was acting when, number one, he found out she was pregnant. Number two, what neighbour would go and visit you in the hospital?
What do you mean? My neighbour's very nice to me. She bought me a box of chocolates when I had a baby.
What male neighbour? Male neighbour.
Okay, but I get that.
Would go and visit a woman who is happily married.
I get that.
At the hospital.
It's wrong.
Not only did he visit them at the hospital, he then came to the house. Her parents are there. This is a lot.
He's overstepping. But what I'm trying to say to you is, I'm not sticking up for Mark or what they're both doing. All I'm saying is, the accusation to say the baby is not his is very big.
But it's based on the initial reaction.
Let me land.
Look what he said. Mark got uneasy. He became uneasy.
Let me land. Let me land, okay?
Okay, okay.
What I'm trying to say to you is, Mark could be a jealous, he could be envious of this relationship. He might want this woman, right?
Mm.
He might want this family, this nuclear family that they've created. He might want this life.
Valid.
So in his perspective, he is doing inappropriate things by being forward with this woman.
Mm.
And what he's doing isn't good. It's not healthy and it's not safe for the relationship. But that does not mean that even though she's giving him a bit of attention,
That she's complicit
into, like, in committing zina. Like, come on, that's a big, big accusation. Now, this whole issue could be resolved if she came off her pedestal a little bit and acknowledged her man's feelings and said, you know what, babe, you're right. What I'm doing, it's a bit sideways.
What? It's the way he referred to him as big. He called him big and bulky.
I know, that already tells me there's an insecurity
there. He's like this big, bulky East African man who's trying to take my wife.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you need, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning about Damon. Damon has that confidence, okay? You need to have that confidence in yourself as a man to, like, just observe your own source. Do you know what I mean? You can't be triggered by this. Like, we don't... Who's Mark to us? Do you know
but
what
at
I mean?
The same time, if this woman even so much as cared about how her husband's feeling, she would have shut this whole Mark thing down the first time he spoke to her about it. But she continued to dangle this little Mark, big, bulky, 6-foot East African man.
Maybe she's enjoying the attention.
I think she's enjoying the attention a bit too much, but to the point where it's making her husband feel like shit. Now, if she was someone who truly cared about his feelings and truly wanted to, you know, make him feel better, she would have ended the interaction.
It's an inappropriate interaction.
She would have stopped
it. But that takes me to a different path now. It's about the way we respect relationships.
Mm, and she clearly does not respect hers. I don't.
And to me, so they started off as an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think in some way she's not attached to this relationship?
That is a possibility.
So in her mind, he's her husband, but she's not equating like love and security.
It's an arranged marriage.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She hasn't grasped that level yet.
Yeah.
So when she's getting attention from Mark, who could tickle her fancy.
Who's a little bit, you know, easy on the eye.
Do you know what I mean? Mark's easy on the eye. He's giving her attention when her husband's away from work. She hasn't experienced this before.
Yeah.
So this to her is like, you know what? I'm just gonna... She doesn't even know how to react to it. Do you know what I mean?
She probably doesn't even know how to navigate it.
Exactly. She's lost in the sauce herself. And she's getting defensive because she probably feels like, what do you mean? Like, why are you accusing me? I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't think she understands that.
This takes me to... Do you know where this takes me to?
What?
Do we know their ages?
No.
She sounds like she could be a young woman. Because
I don't think age matters when it comes
to... No, when I say young, I mean like late teens, early 20s. And the reason I say this is because of the way she's reacting. It's the constant gaslighting. It's the getting defensive. And I can understand she might be just be saying, I've not done anything. How dare you even suspect that I would even accommodate or even speak to this man in this way, right?
Yeah.
Or even have these feelings towards this man. So she might be so angry that he's accusing her and she doesn't have the self-awareness or like the emotional maturity to understand that this is really affecting her man.
Mm.
So I think she could be quite young, new to marriage, new to this whole institution of just, do you know what I mean?
Being and having freedom as well.
Exactly. Coming to the UK in 2020. Do you know what I mean? So I just think there's a lot to consider.
But it's true though. But this to me looks like they need to have a serious conversation about their boundaries.
But do you think she's even got the capacity to have that conversation?
You can mature. You can learn.
Over time, I get it. But I don't think... She hasn't been with this guy for a long time.
But I mean, they can't get out of the marriage. I mean, they can if they want to. But I'm saying in order to improve the marriage, because marriage isn't something that... You know, you wake up and being like you're in love and you're going to have this amazing marriage. You need to work on a marriage.
Yeah.
And in order for them to work, they need to both understand what their boundaries are.
Do you think
this man's boundary is don't be chatting to mandem?
Do you think she had a say in getting married?
That's what I don't know. But I mean, I don't know. But to me, it feels like if it's an arranged marriage, obviously... She might have had a choice because it's haram to force marriage on someone. But she's agreed to it. But they don't know each other well yet. That's where I'm getting at. And they don't know each other's boundaries. They don't know what the other person likes or wants or whatever.
But you know what? Saying that though,
in a normal way.
Saying that though, everyone has a basic understanding of like...
What not to do.
What not to do in a relationship or in a marriage. Just... A very core fundamental understanding that there are certain non-negotiables, certain boundaries that you do not cross. Now, just having a man around you in the house isn't necessarily something that you would even think twice about. You would just be like, no, sorry, I can't engage. Or you'll try and get them out the house quickly. Or you'll, at the very least, have your hijab on around them. Do you know what I mean? So I just feel like, to an extent, I don't think she wants to be in this relationship. I don't think she does.
I think she's got something good going. She doesn't see what she has. And I think Mark has dangled a carrot that she's never seen before. And she's enticed by it. But I also think, coming back to him on what he should do, I don't think he should make this big accusation to say the baby ain't mine. Because Because, okay, one thing
but
is...
But if you have a niggling feeling.
And I get that. The niggling feeling's there. You know what? Furthermore, actually, I was going to say get a paternity test, but even that is pushing it. I think they should have an open conversation about how he feels. And if she's not able to accept that, then he needs to follow through on his doubts, if that's what he's feeling. Mm. But I also think there's steps to Zina, and my girl needs to chill. Because
Allah she's doing a bit too much.
Zina is, Shaitan's like always the third person when it's you and a guy.
Mm.
And it takes a few looks, a few chats, a few little WhatsApp messages, and boom, you know, stuff is cracking.
Mm.
So, I mean, we don't know if it's happened. I really, really hope the situation doesn't end with her saying that the baby's the other guy's. Also, it's a bit ignorant because
babies... Do we have an update?
No, we don't. But the babies, babies can be really dark and then they get become fairer.
No, babies change over time.
That's a very obtuse way to think.
He can't base it solely on the shade, but he's not. That's the thing. He's also basing it on Mark's reaction when he found out that the wife was pregnant.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe Mark is emotional because this is the life that he wants.
Why is Mark... in the hospital?
Because Waraba, he might have feelings for her.
What the
Mark might be chasing something.
Harla, can
his.
You open your eyes?
Listen, I'm just giving you perspectives from different networks. Do you know what I mean? Melkastan Castle Gilea. Because you can't assume that she cheated. I'm defending my sis.
Okay. I'm not defending anyone. I'm just saying. These were the facts that were presented to us.
I just feel like it's a big thing.
Yeah,
to
no,
go
it's
off
a big thing.
Sex.
It's no, I think it's a big thing to assume the baby's not yours, and it's a big thing to request a paternity test. Saying that though,
I think more needs to happen.
Yeah, needs to happen first. And if she doesn't reveal home truths in that chat, he should go and get his test. I think he should.
Yeah,
because I would like to know. I would want to know if I was in his situation.
But I would be, I know this is very toxic of me, but I would just take baby's hairs and do it myself. And just go get myself a little DNA test. Without her knowing. But that's a very toxic way to do it. I'm so sorry, guys. That's the dark side of all of you. But I'm just, you know what? We're an honest podcast.
We're an honest podcast.
We've got to be honest.
I'd probably do the same thing.
Let's be real. Yeah. How many of you guys would just go off and do it?
I would get that test one way or another because I know me and I'm going to have a desire to want to know.
Me too.
And I don't want to confront her because once the confrontation happens, that's when the beef's going to happen.
Yeah, and I want to have my receipts before I come.
Exactly.
Now, if it's negative, I would never ever say anything again.
Exactly.
But if
throw
it's
that away.
Exactly.
And never ever bring up the fact that
exactly.
the test.
You've got to, that's what I'm
You've
saying.
Got
You've got to take some
that
secrets
to the
grave.
100%.
You and me are
like yin and yang. You got to take that to the grave, hun.
In my defense, I believe this man...
Just jump into conclusions very quickly.
A little bit, but I sympathize with the way he feels. She's definitely gaslighting him.
And she's definitely doing the wrong thing. She's definitely doing a madness. Let's be real.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're married now. You shouldn't be entertaining Mark. Mark shouldn't be seeing you without a hijab. Let's be serious.
He shouldn't be at the hospital when you've just given birth. He shouldn't be at your house when the babies come home.
That's if you are a true... If you want to wear hijab, can I just say? Because she might not want to be a hijabi.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Facts, yeah.
So if you do want to uphold hijab, then you shouldn't be letting Mark see you. But if you don't, then, you know, go about your life. The other thing is, he shouldn't be buying you shopping, sis. And the worst thing of all, my guy should not have your number.
What would you do if a woman
did
a household shop for your husband?
I mean, cost of living, I'd be kind of happy right now.
Oh, don't flip and lie, Harva. Don't lie. It's like this. Someone.
But I would never reveal to him that I'm happy she did the shopping.
Someone asked me the question the other day, how would you feel if another woman cooked for your man?
No, that's disrespectful. She's chopping up garlic for my man. Is she all right? Monique Carrigan, my man. I ate onion ka ugo goina, so she smells like suga for him. No way, we're not doing that. That's a done deal then.
That's straight divorce.
Come to my bed, Umba Ohada.
What could they see?
You know what I mean? Katsun get elated, we start speaking Somali. But what I'm trying to say, if she's cooking for him, that is a level of emotion.
But I think getting the shopping is akin to cooking. It's cooking a Jace.
It is. Because for me, if I have to cook for a man, there's feelings there.
There's love there.
There's something there.
For me, it's love because I do not cook. For me, it must be like the
epitome of childhood.
Ha!
That's what it is.
The worlds have turned and twisted.
You are in love. So if, and I would say to him, he is disrespectful if he ever sits with another woman, has a meal with her. That's not his family.
He's buying Anna Yoruti from the
show. Oh my God. That's
for some next girl.
What?
No, I'm sorry. This woman is in the wrong. I'm sorry, Hava. Absolutely. How dare Mark go to the shop and buy her Anna Yoruti?
She means milk and bread, guys. Because someone's getting elated. The Somali's all coming out. I genuinely believe she's doing two things wrong right now. And from the perspective I'm understanding it is...
I just can't get over the fact that Mark did the shopping.
Because he's in his feelings. That is? He's in his feelings. That's what I'm saying to you.
It's like and calling him in the middle of the night saying, my husband's coming home late from work today. Please, basically means, please buy me milk and bread so that I can make supplication for you.
Now, let me twist it a bit. If Mark was living with his mum and his sister...
That's different.
And she asked him to get her shopping, because obviously her husband's away, he's not picking up the phone, she's just had a new baby.
That's different, shall I tell you why? It's only different if he's also doing a grocery shop for his family, and he's decided to bung some of her lot in there as well. And the most important thing is that she pays him.
Can I ask you a question, Kultorn? Why, if Mark is a Muslim man, can he not get his good deeds by getting the shopping for this woman?
I can see why he'd want to get food for her now. Shall I tell you why?
Why?
This scenario took place in 2020. What happened in 2020?
I don't know.
The global pandemic.
Boom.
So, naturally, during the global pandemic, a lot of naharis formed in the people. They started doing things for each other.
The neighbours were clapping.
People were... joining, banding together.
Yeah.
They were doing nice things for each other, and going to the shops for each other, grocery shopping.
So when did she have the baby? In 2022?
So probably 2020. Yeah, 2022.
So when did he do the shopping in 2022?
No, the shopping was before, wasn't it?
No, it's after, when she had the baby.
No, it wasn't. No,
it wasn't.
Refer back to the notes, Heather.
He could have just been doing a good deed, sorry guys, and gotten her shopping. And this man,
my whole view of this scenario has changed now because it took place during the global pandemic.
No, but then if you allude to that now, everyone's in their yard.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And he's working. So to me, if he's still working in a pandemic...
He's probably working as a precarious job.
He's probably a key worker.
He's risking his life every single day.
But then Mark and the wife are together all the time.
Mark's probably working remotely now, or he's probably furloughed. This is why Mark is present constantly. All the time.
But then that would create more space for feelings to occur.
Yes.
So this doesn't support us. It doesn't support me anymore.
Wait. So Mark's obviously seen this woman alone in the house. Husband's a key worker working a precarious job, right?
Right.
So he's probably thinking, I don't want her to go out there and risk her life catching COVID.
Right.
Obviously, she's a woman. Men generally are inclined to protect women. It is part of their biology. So he's probably thinking, let me go and do a couple of things for her. She's obviously grateful. She's showing a bit of teeth for him. Smile.
But also, on top of that...
It doesn't explain the non-hijab thing.
But that's what I'm saying. It does, though. Because feelings can be rescinded. Now, Mark and my girl are spending a lot of time together.
Yeah.
People are isolated. This is the only person she's got a connection with. So I can see where...
So they formed a little lockdown relationship.
Not relationship per se, but, you know, a lockdown crush. So I can see why Mark is attached.
100%. 100%. And I don't like to point the finger. I usually don't.
I've looked at this.
But now that I've seen the context behind it.
I've looked at this from all angles.
I don't know, Heather. I don't know. And I do not want to say something...
I
will regret.
No. I don't think a woman should be accused of something as big as this.
We've given ample opportunity, ample excuses for both sides. Right now, Heather, what is your conclusion?
My conclusion is, and listen carefully, everyone, I think she's a little fast. Okay. And you know what? I love all my sisters in the world.
I love my sisters.
But she's a little fast. She entertained Mark a bit too much.
Mm. She did a boo-boo, big boo-boo.
She did a boo-boo. And that has affected Mark because now he's emotionally invested with everything. Mm. And Mark could in some way, you know, idolize this family, this nuclear family that's been created in front of him. He might, you know, he might have.
Mark does not give too much.
I think he does. I think Mark the nuclear likes
family.
Her.
I think he likes doesn't care about her. This family dynamic. Okay, we're in London, huh? No one cares about families anymore. Mark
then?
Is an eligible, good-looking, 6-foot East African bachelor. Okay, he's seen a vulnerable woman alone. By nature, by his very nature, obviously men are hunters now.
I don't think anyone would jump on another man's
wife. I think he made the intention to pursue her. Yes.
No, that's even worse.
I think Mark intended to pursue her. I think Mark had a game plan in his mind. My guy is lonely up in his house. Mm. He's bored. There's a lockdown.
I disagree.
He's run out of things to do. He's seen a beautiful girl in the corridor alone. Husband's working away. What's going to happen?
I agree with both parties, but
entertain each other, this is where the fit not occurs.
I get it. But I need to pause you on that. I don't think Mark's intention was to pursue. I think these things happened because Shaitan exists. That's the honest truth. I think they both met. There was interactions, isolation, lockdown. Feelings came. They were a bit interacting too much. And that's what's happened. And I get that a fitna can create from there.
But however, naturally, though, who is it that goes, like, Hother, who is it that pursues who first? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think, but now you're painting Mark to be, like, a nasty man.
I think he is a nasty
man. And I don't think he is. I think Mark is trapped in this situation with the husband.
Can I just add a quick caveat? Mark has recently broken up with his girlfriend.
That's all I'm saying. That's a reason to show you how emotionally invested he is. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's out there trying to trap her, thinking, right, I've got a new woman in my sight now. Let me just jump. Now you're just making it out to be like all men are dogs.
Now, let me just give you my side, right? Mark has recently broken up with his girlfriend. Mark is obviously now going through an emotional transition where he's trying to figure out, you know, and a lot of times, Hather, men tend to have rebound situations when they've broken up with women. When they've been in long-term relationships, there tends to be a period of rebounding. Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not saying all the time.
I agree with that.
He could have found himself a little beautiful white rabbit across the road and then decided, you know what? I'll have me some of that.
Right. Mm. Now, that's the bit where I cut it off. I think it happened accidentally.
Do you think? It's an accidental meeting in the lift.
Accidental interactions. This is where my love for romance is coming.
But I'm saying all of those factors, all the things that happened in Mark's life previously,
Have contributed to what has happened. Yes.
Absolutely.
But okay, we're 50 minutes in. We've got a second scenario, guys.
Oh my God.
What I'm trying to say to you is, my sister, she needs to pipe down.
She needs to really
look at her husband, have a conversation with him.
She needs to wind her neck in now.
Do you know what I mean? Understand boundaries, sis. Leave Mark alone. Let Mark find his own fling.
Mm.
Leave him in peace.
Leave that man alone. That man is going through something right now.
Yeah, and now he's going to be brokenhearted again.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And now your husband, who's sitting in front of you, questioning everything,
he's gonna be
brokenhearted. So what she needs to do is, not that I'm trying to be hard on her,
Mark needs to get out of the equation. He needs to be taken out of the equation.
She needs to create that boundary with Mark.
He needs to retire back to his flat.
Yeah.
She needs to sit down with the husband, and they need to have a big discussion about boundaries.
Exactly.
And that's it.
And to talk about how the situation made both of them feel.
And then he needs to get his little paternity test without her knowing.
Oh, yeah.
If only if
after this conversation, he continues to have doubts.
Exactly. Only if he continues to have doubts.
Or if evidence comes out of this conversation they're about to have to insinuate that something's happened.
Or if he sees further interactions between her and Mark.
Right. But
only then will he get the paternity test. But do not tell the wife about it.
No, because that's going to cause more problems.
Make sure you're sure. Make sure you have your facts.
Yeah.
And that's it, really, isn't it?
I think that's all I can say. I think we've really digested this one.
I think we have too.
And I just want to say, anyone listening, if you are listening, Mark, and the woman and the husband, please don't take our advice as the end.
Don't take it as face value.
No, we are too ignorant but funny human beings.
And we don't know, like, we granted, we know that...
We don't know the full story.
Yeah, we know we don't know the full story. We know that there are probably so many things that you left out of the story. We don't know her side of the story either. We don't know Mark's side of the story. But we have just, you know, given our insight based on what has been presented to us.
Indeed. So please don't take it any other way. Right. So I think that's the end of scenario one, people.
Should we move on to scenario two?
Indeed, darling.
Dun, 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 dun. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to scenario number two of the Oversharers podcast, brought to you by Callie and
Harper.
I deleted the poor girl scenario by accident. God. I'm so sorry.
All right, let me get comfortable. Right, guys. This scenario was sent by one of our wonderful listeners. We won't say your name. We'll try and keep it as anonymous as we can.
Is there any information in there,
I think,
to identify
a little
her?
Bit, maybe. I don't know.
What
I haven't
names?
Read it. No. Actually,
okay,
there's
fine.
Nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, we'll try and answer this as best as we can. We really, really appreciate you sending this to us.
Thank you.
We'll try and give it the...
A good shot.
Yeah.
A really good, decent, unbiased shot.
Of giving you the best advice that we can give.
Possibly give, yeah.
In this situation. Mm. And if you do want to send us a scenario, guys, callieandharvard@gmail.com. Make sure you don't add any information that will reveal where you're from or any names. And we'll try and get back to you or add it to the next episode whenever you send it.
Inshallah.
Right, let's get started.
Let's go.
So... Our good sis said, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I've been following your page and truly appreciate the content you two provide.
Oh my God.
We love that. We really
That's
do.
So sweet.
It's not just eye-opening, but also helpful for women all over the world.
Tell that to our haters.
Tell that to all the men that message us about not talking about relationships, women, sex, life, marriage. What else? What else do they come for? Our hijabs.
God, they just want to silence us.
But it's not about them. It's about
it's
you
It's about
today.
This good sis.
So we're going to go back to you. Righty-ho. I would like for you to kindly keep this message anonymous, and we will. I got married about a year ago. It was a love marriage, and my parents were in agreement, as were his parents. We got married and have been living with his parents and divorced sister and son, and her son. My husband and I live in the basement of the house, so it's definitely somewhat suffocating with small windows and no sunlight. I accepted the proposal knowing that I would be living with his family in the basement. However, aside from the lack of sunlight, which is adjustable, I have no privacy. The deep freezer is downstairs, so my mother-in-law is grabbing stuff from there constantly at any given time of the day. The laundry's downstairs, so my father-in-law comes down quite often to do laundry multiple times a day, several times a week. I've addressed these concerns to my husband, who at first was in agreement that I don't have privacy, but over time would ask me to make this my home and that his parents coming downstairs a few times a week isn't a big deal. Aside from this, our relationship is pretty healthy. What are your thoughts on this? I've asked to move out, but my husband thinks we're not financially in a situation where we can afford to move out just yet. We've fought several times, and unfortunately his parents had to get involved since our bedroom is right below his parents. And unfortunately, I've been disrespectful with his parents because they believe I want to break the family by separating their son and moving out. Of course, my mother-in-law was the one to say that. I want to keep a healthy relationship with his family, but this requires us to have our own space. My husband wasn't budging because of our financial status until recently. I was able to persuade my husband to move out. We finalized an apartment and we will be moving soon, inshallah, if all goes well. However, my husband did not pay a single penny towards the apartment. Initial deposit was £5,000. In Islam, it's the husband's duty to provide a place to live for his wife. Aside from his financial setbacks, he believes he's already providing me with an ideal living space, which is understandable as he has spent a lot of money on renovating it. Unfortunately, the big issue is privacy. I'm only limited to the bedroom space and work from home, so definitely feel suffocated and losing my mind sometimes since I'm stuck in one room all day. I was really upset about how he agreed to move, but for my sake only, and didn't give me any money to help. I am hurt, disappointed, and feel betrayed, and sometimes question my decision on this marriage. I haven't been able to sleep for the past 4 to 5 days thinking and overthinking. I feel really bad. I actually do feel really bad.
Okay, let's dissect.
Right, so the first things first. So you got married. You both had an agreement to move to the basement until you financially became stable to move to your own place. Right. But
what a lot
the
of
issue
women do is they will agree to live in these situations, but there is like an unsaid, or there's usually a thing where eventually they're going to move out and they're going to have their own place, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, let's bear the brunt of this really shit living situation for now, but afterwards we're going to be in an amazing situation because we've raised all this money and now we can afford it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what I don't get is, like, I'm jumping the whole kind of like interaction that she's having with the in-laws and the, you know, like the breach of the personal space and all of that. But I don't get how it's gone from that situation to then him not basically renting the new house for her, or not paying for the rent for this new home.
Yeah. So
I don't get it.
So essentially they both agreed to move out. And I think he's become comfortable in this space. So he said to her, let's wait until we're more financially stable. So they've agreed on an apartment, but the deposit for the apartment was £5,000, which I'm assuming is her money.
But is he saying that he's not going to pay for the rent for this new apartment, or is he just not paying for the deposit?
He didn't contribute to the deposit.
Right.
Which is £5,000. Right, I don't want to dissect this, so I'm going to go back to it. So she goes, my husband wasn't budging because of our financial status until recently.
Right.
Okay, so something's changed.
Yeah.
I was able to persuade my husband to move out. We finalized an apartment and we will be moving soon, inshallah. However, my husband did not pay a single penny towards this apartment. The initial deposit was £5,000. Aside from his financial setbacks, he believes he's already providing for me with an ideal living space.
So he's not happy with moving?
No. So he's basically saying, and so what I'm understanding from this, is that this 5,000 she's put into the house is a setback for him.
Yeah, but what I'm also understanding from this is he hasn't necessarily
taken the steps to move out.
Agreed to move out. He hasn't necessarily said, like, even though he's changed his tune, he's basically saying, right, well, if you want to move out, you pay for it.
I mean, I don't know if you said that, but he's obviously not contributed to the deposit, which is insinuating that he's probably not going to contribute to the house then.
Because it's her decision. See, she's the one that's been pushing for this.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from it.
But then to me, I don't understand, because it says he wasn't budging because of our financials until recently. So until recently means that he's agreed.
But he's agreed because he's not paying towards
it. Yeah. And the other thing is, before that, he said to her, obviously, this is the situation we're living in, but once we get financially stable, we'll move to our own place.
That doesn't necessarily mean
it will happen now.
It will happen now. He's agreed because she's paying for it.
Yeah.
He hasn't agreed because he wants to leave his mum's house.
No.
That's the problem. And also, he basically said that he like, they made a plan together. yeah. that they were going to leave when they're financially ready. Like, so now when they've got to the new house, the burden of the home has
gone onto her.
Onto her.
Yeah. And I want to say, a few things about that, because when the finance, okay, when you, first two things, when you and a partner initially agree on something as a married couple, you're a team.
You're a team.
So if you've agreed long term, we are going to move out, because it's not sustainable to live in your family's home unless the home can be able to accommodate yeah. everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When there's families that have big homes and they can, you know, do extensions and, you know, the family can live in the extension, I don't mind. I've got my own space.
Yeah.
But if you're in a crowded room, that is not good for your mental health. That's
With
not good for your marriage.
In and out.
You can't
Nobody,
even be naked
no
in
one
your bed.
Cares that you're even there. People are able to come in and out as they please to do their daily chores. That is not a sustainable living space.
No, and it doesn't create the, like, the hospitable, like, home that you want with your new life. So number one, that's where he's going wrong. He should have took this as a small milestone to stack up.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And get to a place and leave. Because you want to both be comfortable and create a life together.
I just think that if they have both agreed that they're both going to add equal amounts to saving up to be able to finance a home together, that's great. I don't think in the scenario he said that he was going to be contributing to everything. I think there was a kind of a rule that they were going to do it together, right?
I'm assuming. It doesn't say.
It doesn't really say. So no. I'm guessing that they had this agreement that they were going to do this together. They were going to wait until they were financially comfortable. Now, what I'm getting from that is he's gone back on his previous promise. Yeah. He's left her in the dark. He hasn't told her once that he's not planning on paying the deposit for this new home.
No.
Which also leads me to think that he probably won't contribute towards the rent. But she needs to assess that.
But she can find out. So this is how we can work around this.
Yeah.
Because this is not something to lose your marriage over. I think this is, you just need to find a way to have this open conversation with him. So she needs to find out, you know what, if you're saying to me, I'm putting £5,000 of my money, which is a lot of money in this era.
This is the money that people get married with these
Do you
days.
Know what I mean?
It's a lot of money.
Into this home, he needs to be paying for every single thing for the rest. I'm so sorry.
She needs, I think before she, I think that conversation should have happened before she yeah. forked out the deposit. I think what should have happened was as soon as he agreed that they were going to move out, they should have had a conversation about how they plan to finance his home. Is this going to be a situation where he pays the rent and the bills? Is this going to be a situation where they split the costs of everything? Or is this going to be a situation where, you know, she pays for rent and he pays for bills? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? That sort of conversation should have happened before there was any sort of, like, forking out, any sort of agreement.
But I can...
tenancy agreement signed or anything like that.
But I can see why she did that.
But it's through desperation.
Out of desperation, she wanted to get out.
I get
out
it, but...
and assumed her husband would cover her.
But now that that's happened... cool, it's done.
It's
do you know
done.
I mean?
You've got the deposit. I think what she needs to focus on now...
on establish who is going to be paying the household expenses.
Exactly. So now moving forward, I think she needs to have a conversation with him to understand what's going on. Where does he stand on their plan together? Is he happy to move out?
Yeah, where does he stand on moving yeah. out?
Because that's what she needs to get.
Because I do think he is happy about it.
And also, I feel like there's a little bit of pressure from the family, from the mother-in-law and the father, assuming that they're taking their son away. I really think families need to just give up with this stance. I'm so sorry. Your son's not going anywhere. He's probably going up the road. Let's be real. Do you know what I mean? If he was moving to Australia, I can understand the anxiety. But even if he was, he started a new life with his wife. It's okay. Children leave the nest.
But the thing is, I don't really think how the in-laws feel is relevant to this situation. Do you know what I mean? The in-laws can have their views, they can have their
judgments, but I think they have
all of that. But I don't think what their judgment should cloud their him. Initial arrangement, which was that they were going to stay here for a specific period of time and then move out. What she needs to focus on doing is basically to understand the intention of her husband in moving out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
What the in-laws have done, I think, is just essentially like have provided a space for them. Now, within that, he's obviously got his meals prepared for him.
Mm-hmm.
He has his clothes washed for him.
He has everything that's
very comfortable. So he's got this comfortable space in which he's not lifting a finger, nor is he paying rent. Granted, I don't know, but I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think he's doing too much in that house, but living in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So in his mind, he's thinking, right, I'm living lavish right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to leave this situation?
Mm-hmm. I get that.
The wife is thinking, I want to move forward with our relationship. I cannot be living under your parents for the rest of my life. Like, indeed. This isn't going to progress our relationship in any way. If anything, it's going to hinder it.
Yeah. Right?
So I just feel like, park the in-laws to one side, because regardless of anything, that is how they're always going to feel. That's their son. They want to keep him for as long as possible. They want to do nice things for him. They want him to be safe, protected, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to have that stance. Him, on the other hand, he's the one that's like, basically, what's the word?
Wishy-washy.
Not even wishy-washy, but
flippant.
Not flippant, but he's the one that's kind of dithering between these two worlds. Mm. So there's the living comfortably, and then there's also the
promising your wife something.
Promising your wife something and progressing the relationship onto a situation where it's just him and her. I think he's afraid of the change. I think he's afraid of the transition. He's afraid of not having the safety net to fall back on with his parents and all of that. And I'm
and to progress and in this new life.
Yeah, and it's sad to say that he's complacent. He's complacent. Yeah. He's happy and complacent. So I just think that she needs to work on him.
But the only way to have that conversation is to sit down with him and really understand. Listen, yeah, we got married. This is a love marriage. Do you know what I mean? They love each other. They care about each other.
Mm-mm.
There's a plan. We had a plan. This is where we're going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I will support you with whatever you need to make you feel comfortable. Can we go ahead?
Yeah. What are you doing to, you know, action the plan?
Do you know what I mean? What's going
on? How can we move this plan forward?
Exactly. And the other thing I would say is these sort of scenarios can cause a lot of resentment for people. Mm. And a lot of that can come from when you take up the role of, let's say, a husband who is saying he wants to be the financial provider, and let's say you're now being the financial provider, and on top of that you're looking after the home, and on top of that you're looking after kids. I don't know if they have children. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That takes a mental toll on a woman, and it's not just the woman, that would take a mental toll on anyone that's in that situation, and it would put a lot of pressure on them. And that will create a lot of resentment in the relationship, because they're seeing the distraction between the fact that this person isn't pulling their weight.
Do you know what I'm thinking about? And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like men tend to, I feel like this man in particular, him being in this very comfortable situation and having everything that he needs.
Yeah.
Do you think that this might be impinging? Like, obviously it is impinging on his role as a husband.
Yeah.
But do you feel like his role is kind of getting blurred? Because obviously, like, he's got this, like, wonderful life where he's not really contributing to anything.
Mm.
And then within that, I just feel like the rights that he has towards his wife are just kind of getting blurred.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? So it's like you're basically diminishing the man of the responsibility that he has to his wife, because you're providing this comfortable space for him. And I feel like this is what in-laws don't really understand. Yeah. I'm not saying that they shouldn't give, obviously, their sons and stuff a place to live, but I just don't think it doesn't let them be a man.
It doesn't let them start this journey. And in order to truly start this journey of marriage with their spouse, you both need to be in it. You both need to see each other for who you are. You need to be paying bills together. You need to be roughing it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you need to have your own space to navigate your relationship. Now,
but she's in this basement. Stuck. She's basically stuck. She's mute. You know, like, she's not going to be able to have, like, actual arguments with her husband.
No, because obviously the parents can hear from upstairs.
She can't really tell him how she feels.
So she's getting more suppressed.
She's getting more suppressed, and he's losing his role. He's losing his rights over his wife.
And it's easy for him, because he's like, rah, like, I'm not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And then that will create a bigger argument between the both of them, because she's looking at him like, what the hell? Like, is this what you wanted us to be?
Is this what a marriage is supposed to be?
And he's just like, babes, like, come on, you're in my mum's house. Just chill out.
Just chill out.
Yeah.
The situation and having everything that he needs.
Yeah.
Do you think that this might be impinging? Like, obviously it is impinging on his role as a husband.
Yeah.
But do you feel like his role is kind of getting blurred? Because obviously, like, he's got this, like, wonderful life where he's not really contributing to anything.
Mm.
And then in that, within that, I just feel like the rights that he has towards his wife are just kind of getting blurred.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? So it's like you're basically diminishing the man of the responsibility that he has to his wife because you're providing this comfortable space for him. And I feel like this is what in-laws don't really understand. Yeah. I'm not saying that they shouldn't give, obviously, their sons and stuff a place to live, but I just don't think it doesn't let them be a man.
It doesn't let them start this journey. And in order to truly restart this journey of marriage with their spouse, you both need to be in it. You both need to see each other for who you are. You need to be paying bills together. You need to be roughing it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you need to have your own space to navigate your relationship. Now,
but she's in this basement.
Stuck.
She's basically stuck. She's mute. You know, like, she's not going to be able to have, like, actual arguments with her husband.
No, because obviously the parents can hear from upstairs.
She can't really tell him how she feels.
So she's getting more suppressed.
She's getting more suppressed, and he's losing his role. He's losing his rights over his wife.
And it's easy for him because he's like, rah, like, I'm not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And then that will create a bigger argument between the both of them because she's looking at him like, what the hell? Like, is this what you wanted us to be?
Is this what a marriage is supposed to be?
And he's just like, babes, like, come on, you're in my mum's house. Just chill out.
Just
chill out.
Yeah.
The food's here. The telly's on.
The telly's
on. Chill out.
You've got everything you need here.
Do you know what I mean? But in reality, that's not life.
Mm-mm.
And it's not comfortable for her.
No.
And it just doesn't create the space to create love.
Exactly.
So I just genuinely believe you have to confront this situation head on.
Mm.
And I don't mean confront like in a negative stance.
Not in an argumentative way.
Not in an argumentative,
way.
No.
I think this is a conversation that could be had as though me and you are conversing right now.
Yeah. But I think, just give me a pause. What I also think, this situation shouldn't happen in the home. Go on a date night.
And have a conversation away from prying eyes.
Have nice dinner, flirt with them a little bit.
Also, the date night will allow her to be in a space where she can actually fully express herself without feeling as though she's being heard by the in-laws.
Of course.
I just think they need to have a chat. I feel like he does want what she
wants.
A nice
walk in the park.
I feel like they do want the same things.
Yeah.
I just think he's being held back. Yeah. By this other life in the basement.
Yeah. And I think this will create a stepping stone for how you get over difficult situations in the future. Because if you can communicate your way through this, understand each other, get your man and you get him on your side, then that's it. Like, now you know how to navigate when difficult situations happen.
Mm.
I don't think this is... I know you feel really negative about... like marriage and, you know, your decision about marrying this person. I think if you love each other, it's the way forward.
Mm.
Marriage is never, ever easy. It's hard, bloody work. I say that all the time. It's hard work. You've got to constantly navigate and learn new ways to learn this person and like adjust to them and choose your battles and things like that. But this situation, take him on a nice date night. Do you know what I mean? We'll let him take you while you're taking him.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what I mean? Let him take you out a nice day and night. Don't have this conversation over dinner. I would say have a natural, fun conversation. Show him what life was like before. Do you know what I mean? Show him what he's missing out on.
Yeah.
Go on a nice little long walk to the park. Hash it out. Sit down. Just be like, babe, honestly, I see a life for us. She's getting his head. You need to koala the situation. Do you know what I mean?
She needs to do psychological warfare.
Yeah. Like, babe, honestly, I love you. This is the life that I want for us. I want us to have a nice home.
Like, look at this situation. We just went on a date night. We're living life.
And then you come home together.
Exactly. How much fun would that be?
Little Netflix and chill on the sofa.
And then some. But she's got to set the scene in his head of what life is going to be like of their
pure bliss
together in their new home.
Is he worried about meals? Babe, I'll make you food.
Do you know what I mean?
Your favourite. Your mum ain't making no like chicken wings and burgers. You're Bella, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like practice your cooking skills.
Exactly.
What else? A nice clean home.
Laundry. I want to practice another form of aerobics on you.
Laundry, babe. Don't worry about it. We'll just get... I don't like doing laundry, I'll be honest, but
we'll share the roles.
We'll share the roles. Do you know
everything
what I mean?
Will be. She's just got to paint the picture of marital bliss.
Do you know what I mean?
Date in night. A home, their own home that they've created for themselves.
Yeah.
This love nest.
Saturday, you can watch the footy. I'll make your food for you. Chill out. Do whatever what I mean? You want. I'm going to go out to my friends. You relax.
Relax today. Don't worry about the dishes. I've got it covered.
Do you know what I mean? Do your friends ever come over to your new house? Do they come over to your mum's house? No.
No. When was the last time you saw your friends?
You can play FIFA with your friends on a Saturday night. On your brand new sofa, babe.
Now, that's the one that's going to... That's the hook line.
That's the last.
Sink him. That's what it is.
You need to just smooth it over. And honestly, that man's going to be eating out of your palm.
Set the scene. Honestly, this is act one, scene one of your new life together.
Darling. Before you know it, in the morning, he's going to wake up so happy. He's not even going to think. He's going to be like, what the hell? I'm in a basement.
He's going to say, babe, you pay $5,000 for a deposit. I'll give you that now.
Do you know what I mean?
Babe, this is our home.
Yeah, I'm going to pay for all the rent. That's what he's going to say. I'm going to pay for everything. You just sit cushy. That's what he's going to say. It. He's going to wake up the next morning and think, me, living in a basement after she sold me that dream.
After she sold me that dream.
No way. He's going to jump living out of that bed.
She could just even turn around and say, what do your friends think about you living in a basement?
Oh, no, no. That would trigger him. No.
No, we don't want to trigger.
We want to do smooth first. Smooth.
He's going to be
massage
like,
the ego.
Me living in a basement?
Absolutely not. How dare.
How bloody dare. Look how passionate I am. My mic's dropped on the floor. But how bloody dare I live in a basement?
How dare. Oh God, me cockney's coming out now. How dare.
He's going to be like, pack your bags, we're off.
Sis, listen, this has been the longest episode, but we really do hope this scenario has helped you as much as possible.
I really do. May Allah make it easy for you guys. I mean, I'm actually rooting for you both. I know. You can get out of the in-laws' house, sis, you made it.
And you get him to pay for the rent and everything, and you get your money back. That's a bonus.
Let this be one for the sisters living with the in-laws.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And right now, I would say just try and move out. And sort everything out, and then the rest you can form afterwards.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Right, guys. Anyway.
Thank you so much for sending in this scenario. And guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this scenario, please leave a review.
Oh, yes.
Please give us 5 stars and download the episode.
Indeed. On the Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Amazon, I believe.
There's a few.
Also, we're back on YouTube. We post 2 days a week. And this podcast will be in the video version on YouTube in what day?
Friday.
Indeed. And Sunday, I believe.
Sunday, yes. Yeah.
And we're also on TikTok and Instagram, so please go and show us some love. And if you want to send us any more scenarios, it's at callieandharvar@gmail.com.
All the information is in the description.
And we love you guys.
Love you guys.
That's the end of episode 2. Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.